behind every great beer is an even better story. Welcome to the Beer Healer Interviews. Australians love barley. They flock there in droves on their annual holidays. I myself have been there on a few occasions and I've had an awesome time, except for one thing. Their beer sucks. It's all international premium beers that taste exactly the same and it is just boring. As a craft beer lover, the options are slim pickings. But that's all about to change. A few months ago, a new craft brewery popped up in a beachside town called Canggu. It's called Black Sand Brewery, and it's run by an Italian-born, Balinese-raised dude called Mattia Di Bitonto. On my recent family holiday in Bali, I paid him a visit to see what was going on. Alrighty, Mattia, welcome to the Beer Healer Interviews.
Cheers. Thanks for coming by.
Oh, it's a pleasure, mate. I'm so glad I found you. Let me describe this scene for you, and I'll post some pics on the Facebook page, but we're sitting out the back in Canggu. That's how you pronounce it?
Yeah.
Canggu?
Yeah.
Canggu. There's this massive beer garden here out the back looking over rice fields. We've got some great hip-hop playing in the background, and in there in the brewery is an amazing big food hall and a 1,000-hectare kit pumping out some amazing beers, and all of this in the middle of Bintang Land.
Yes, exactly.
Mate, you must have been fucking crazy to think you were going to pull this thing off.
Yeah, well, it was my dad's idea.
Oh, really?
You know, he was like, we should do a brewery, and I was like, you think we can pull it off? And he was like, yeah, don't worry about it. We'll pull it off. You just make it happen.
Nice.
And I put the plan together, and yeah.
Wish my dad said that to me when I was younger. So let's fill it in for everybody. Mattia is Italian heritage, raised in Bali. Sounds like an American for some reason.
Yeah, all the Bali kids get an American accent.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah.
So I read the website and it said on there that one day you got out of the surf and asked why you couldn't get a decent beer down here at, what's the beach called? The Batu Belong Beach, is that right?
Yeah, Batu Belong Beach is it's a really famous beach here in Canggu because all the beginners come and learn how to surf there.
Yeah, so. It looks like it's a bit of a party beach too.
A what?
A party beach.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you've
absolutely.
Got old mans over there. Yeah. You've got the lawn, you know.
Yeah. And so what, you just, how did you know that this whole craft beer thing existed? How did you know this is what you wanted to do?
Well, I would go on a holiday, you know, like to Australia, to America, and drink really good beer.
Yeah.
And I would come home and drink Bintang, you know, or San Miguel Light. I don't even drink Bintang anymore, actually.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So I was like, okay, I better start brewing some at home.
Yeah. So it started off being a home brewer then?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then when I was brewing at home, this Spanish guy was helping me get the beer, like, right. His name's Dani from Cerveza Dos Mares. He's in the south of Spain.
Okay, cool.
And he helped me get the beers right at home. So I was like, wow, I can pull this off. I'm you know, using well water. And,
oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, I was like, wow, we can definitely pull a brewery off.
But yeah. Let me just stop you for 1 second. I've been driving around this island for about the last week. I've not seen one local homebrew store, and I've been through some streets. Where are we getting your ingredients from?
Friends, you know, going to Singapore on visa runs. You know, get some stuff from there, and just whoever came in.
Yeah. Yeah, no,
but
fair
I'm
enough.
Still tight on ingredients right now.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. I remember I've got a friend who runs a brewery in Hawaii, and of course, an island. They don't grow any ingredients locally, and it's just so expensive to make beer.
Yeah.
But you said before, expense is not your number one concern because you just want to make great beer, don't you?
I want everyone to come here, have a good time, you know, have a good beer, and the bill doesn't hurt, you know. So. I think you do the right thing and the money comes.
Yeah.
You know, if you start doing something just for the money, you're already going back.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, and you just got to get those people to to try the beer and make the change from, because you come here and literally Bintang is shoved down your throat everywhere
exactly.
you go. I don't know what the trade practices are like here, but it feels like there's a bit of a monopoly going on. And so as a young craft brewer trying to get his start, I would say that trying to get your beer into bottle shops or bars is going to be a bloody tough ask.
Yeah, yeah. As of now, I want everyone to come here and like experience the venue.
Yeah.
You know,
we've got a
beautiful space back here. You know, the food's really good. We hired an Italian chef. We didn't just want the beer to be good, but experience.
It's family friendly too. There's a family of 10 or something sitting over there behind us that are enjoying a few beers, and the kids are running around having fun. It really is a great venue.
100%. It's a place for everyone.
I think that's what you have to do, and it seems to be a key with a lot of those sort of beer garden or operating brewery venues back in Australia. You've got to cater for everybody.
Exactly. I don't want anyone to come in here and feel uncomfortable for any sort of reason.
No, fair enough. Let's talk about actually setting this place up, because I've seen construction sites around this place. It's pretty loose. There's not a lot of IH&S. I think the steel capped thongs are a big thing because nobody's wearing any boots or safety wear whatsoever.
Definitely not.
How difficult was it to actually build this place?
There was a lot of planning building it. We had to order our equipment before even starting to drawing it, because I didn't have much experience in, you know, the commercial side of brewing.
Yep.
So I had to order all the equipment first to, you know, to lay it all out. We have a big grain room to keep the grains dry. You know, that was
all the moisture and everything.
So it's like everything was a lot of pre-planning. You know, when it came to building, you know, we've been here for so long, so we have good contacts of builders and all that stuff.
The funny thing is, like, when you talk about people starting new breweries back in Australia, there's always the community there to help them and guide them.
Exactly.
I think I've talked to people like the guys at Stone and Wood that talk about, you know, it's all friendly until it becomes competition, but you had no one here. I'm pretty sure the guys at Bintang weren't going to help you out.
No, literally everything about it was just hard. It was I can't call anyone for my draft like system lines, you know. I can't, and then everything I gotta import, so I gotta order it so far in advance.
Yeah.
You know, like I can't call anybody.
Nah, a lot it's of YouTube like, video watching.
Definitely lots of YouTube videos.
So maybe we should put a call out to any brewers who are coming from maybe Perth for a weekend over here to swing by this place and just have a beer and chew the fat with you and talk about ways to, you know, make this place even more amazing than it already is.
I think last week I posted on what was it, Perth Homebrew Share or something like that. I was like, hey guys, if you bring goodies, if you come to Bali, make sure you bring goodies, and then we'll swap for a couple of pints.
Yeah, no, that sounds like a good idea.
You know, it's always endless, the beer tasting. So
yeah, no, it's always good. I noticed there was a few bottles in the brewery there of different bits and pieces, bit of inspiration. What sort of beers, what sort of breweries, what sort of brewers have inspired you to make these beers?
Before I started brewing here, I was drinking these guys from a company called Beervana.
Yep.
They import Deschutes here.
Oh, I love Deschutes,
Now they're importing Little Creatures.
Yep.
Tuatara from New Zealand.
Oh, yeah.
So I was drinking a lot of them, you know, so I tried to snatch a couple, you know, I tried to dissect them.
Yep.
You know, it can't go that far, but...
No, true, but you could use them for inspiration, I suppose.
Yeah, for sure.
So today we're drinking the Session IPA. I've tried the Kolsch, the Blonde Ale, the Pale Ale, and the Belgian Wit, was it?
Yeah, Belgian Fruity,
It's
kind of like a toned-down Belgian.
I say you are 3 months into this journey, and those beers for a 3 month production, they are solid.
You gotta be honest with me though.
I know, absolutely. That's why I asked, can we have the session again now, because for me this beer is going to be your gateway beer to get people off Bintang, I reckon. Because for those of you that haven't had Bintang, let me liken it to something like Foster's Light Ice perhaps in Australia, or it's basically your generic international premium beer that's done the same way the world round. They call it a pilsner, hardly any bitterness, hardly any flavour, So you need to be taking the new drinkers on a journey from that taste into what craft beer can be. So you need to go with something that's not too heavy.
Exactly.
You know, in alcohol or taste, I think this Session IPA is your one.
That's why on all my beers, I'm always on the lower end of the bracket.
Yep.
You know, when it comes to bitterness, alcohol. Because it's also so hot here.
Yes.
So I feel like I need to... lower end.
Because you need to have
and get people into it too, and slowly get them hoppier and more body, and you know,
get them in the door. Because you need it. We use the term in Australia. It sounds like an absolute wanker, but we call it quaffable, which just means you can drink it in the sun.
Yeah.
Which this beer today certainly is. But it's, let's be honest, it is going to be a tough sell, isn't it?
I think you got lucky though, because I think this is the last keg.
Not brewing it again?
Huh?
You gonna change the recipe?
I have a juicy IPA.
Okay.
Session as well. So let's see how that one turns out. We can try it in the fermenter in a little bit.
Oh yeah, we were drinking. What we drink fresh off the tank a minute ago? That was pretty nice.
We weren't gonna throw away the beer left in the hose while I was transferring, were we?
There is nothing better than fresh beer straight out of the tank. So good. So let's talk a little bit more about the market here. We've talked about how influential Bintang is. We know that they've got the market pretty much sewn up. How much of a desire is there for this craft beer thing?
There is a huge desire, you know.
Is it all from expats coming on holidays, or is it locals as well?
I think expats come on a holiday and they want Bintang, you know, I still sell Bintang here because...
Do you?
I do,
why
yeah,
would you do
I
that?
Do. Because, you know, like I said before...
Come on, have some balls, tell them no!
It's a place for everyone, and if they're on holiday and they want to drink Bintang, they can have Bintang, you know? Like,
okay.
I don't want to force people to drink my beer at my venue, you know?
What if you could make a beer and... Maybe your Kolsch is the perfect beer for that too. You know, in Australia we've had the craft beer revolution, but there's a beer called Furphy, which is a little creature's beer, which is a Kolsch. And that has been the gateway beer between Carlton Draft, basically, and entering in. You know, a lot of the people listening to this who love their craft beer, they hate Furphy because they see what it's doing to the market, it's dominating. But as an entry-level beer, a Kolsch is a really good idea.
Yeah,
and that one's your one.
I make my Kolsch because I don't have time to make a Pilsner.
Yeah,
you know,
fair enough.
I don't have 5 weeks.
You don't have the tanks.
And I don't want to ferment under pressure and try all that stuff out. I don't know. I have to play around with that. Maybe I could get a Pilsner out in like 3 weeks, but I don't know about that.
I said to you before when I was drinking the Kolsch, I really feel like the Kolsch is an underrated beer style.
Yeah.
You know, it's a bit of a forgotten one, but I think, you know, maybe you could come up with a clever name and call it something similar to Bintang and just say, look, I don't have Bintang. Try this. Seriously.
Yeah. That's why I have that. I have that light, easy drinking, you know.
You should just say that. Like other breweries in Australia that face a similar problem when someone comes in and says, I want a Carlton Draft. Look, I don't have that, but here, try my Kolsch, my entry-level pale ale, whatever.
Sure, I definitely get my bar guys to push for the Kolsch when they ask for, you know, something easy, like a Bintang or a San Miguel Light, you know.
Yeah.
That's definitely the one that they're pushing.
Yeah. What was the percentage on the Kolsch?
4.2.
That's pretty
about
good.
About 18 IBU.
Yeah, that's easy.
Yeah, it's good. It's really nice. You can smash them all day.
Yeah, absolutely. So let me ask you, how does it feel to be effectively the bloke who is leading a craft beer revolution in Bali? That's what I'm going to say. That's what you are.
It's actually like settling in right now. You know, I drive past the brewery sometimes and I look at it and I'm like, wow, I own the first brewery in Indonesia, like pumping like good beer.
Yeah, absolutely. You
know, and so many of my friends are so stoked. It's happened. When I was, and the best part is while I was working on it for a year and a half, I did not tell anything to anybody that I was doing it. I just wanted to, you know.
Oh, yeah, big surprise.
Yeah, big surprise. And it was
Sorry to interrupt the podcast. In the words of Transvision Vamp, I don't want your money, honey. I want your love. I'm not going to ask for a Patreon donation because that's not really why I do this. I just want you to help me spread the craft beer gospel. Whichever podcast service you use, if you like my interviews, please like, subscribe, follow, rate, and share my podcast with your friends. It all helps to spread the craft beer message throughout the community, and in turn, hopefully can help those of you out there who make a living working in the industry. That's all. I'll let you get back to the podcast. I've spoken to quite a few guys from Perth, guys and girls from Perth who are craft beer lovers, and I've been saying to them for a long time, you know, people involved in breweries, why don't you try and, you know, get a brewery in Bali or export your beer up to Bali? And they sort of talked about, you know, actually getting beer into the country is quite difficult.
Yeah.
Controlling the quality of it is quite difficult. You know, trying to get it at a decent price is quite difficult. So, but none of them that I've spoken with were sort of had the guts to sort of do what you've done and just basically go all in and set this thing up.
Yeah.
You got big kahunas.
I'm just the guy making the beer, you know. There is my dad and my other partners, they handle with all that,
yeah,
you know,
cool.
All that other stuff. So yeah. I'm doing the fun stuff, yeah. The hard work and fun.
Yeah. One of the things, you know, when you speak to people about running a brewery or a bar and they see these people start their craft beer journeys, I'm assuming you're going to see people trying this for the first time. So you're going to get them to have that craft beer epiphany. Have you seen anything great over the bar so far where people sort of come in here and they might be a bintan drink or not even a beer drink, and all of a sudden you're like, well, they're like, oh, I think I could get into this.
A lot of people come and say, oh, I don't like beer. Can you make me a cocktail? I'm like, yeah, but what beer don't you like? Like, you don't like bintang. How about you, like, try this stuff, you know?
Yeah.
And I explain all the beers, like, you know, German style, English style, this and that. And, you know, they're like, oh, wow, this is fruity. This doesn't taste like beer. Or, like, you know, they don't know. So,
yeah.
Hopefully, slowly, I'll get everyone, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I get a lot of people that go other places after they're here and they can't drink beer anymore. They're like, let's go back to the brewery.
Right, you started it for them. I have this thing that I've got a wife who's been a wine drinker and a champagne drinker for her entire life and just would not drink beer. And then we went to Trillium in Boston and we drank a fruited wild ale, which was, I think it was on Chardonnay casks, aged on Chardonnay casks. And it was absolutely, tasted nothing like a beer.
Yeah.
She had two of those. And ever since then, if I've got a fruited, sour, wild ale, whatever you want to call them, she always seems to be keen on them.
Yeah, I actually made a one-off keg, Berliner Weiss last week. And
what was the reaction?
It was, yeah, people loved it.
Yeah.
And it was my first trial too, and it was really good. Like the perfect amount of sourness. Like,
bit
thin on body, but
that's good. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't want to sound sexist, but I'm in my 40s, and my wife was introduced to alcohol through those kinds of beers, the West Coast coolers, and then to wine, then to champagne, and that sort of thing. I know people who are in their early years now, they're drinking different stuff, but I believe for people of sort of that generation in their 30s and 40s, the sours, the Blumenvoss, all that sort of stuff is the absolute way to go.
Yeah, I love sours.
You do?
And I'm scared to do a 1,000-liter batch sour because...
Look, there's that cost element too, isn't there?
Not cost, but I don't know if it's going to move, you know? But after doing that one keg, maybe I think I'm going to do it.
So if you've got 1,000 litres, what's that, 20 kegs in Australia? 20, 50-litre kegs?
Yeah, something like that. I got little kegs. I got 20 litres.
Oh, okay. So 50 little mini kegs all coming out of your tanks.
Yeah.
That's going to move in a month and still be bloody fresh, won't it?
Yeah.
Surely.
Yeah. If people like it, you know, I can just drink it all.
The thing I love about what you can do here, there's native fruits here in Bali that maybe you can't get anywhere else in the world. I'm not 100% sure. But, man, you could have some fun with fruited sours with native fruit, couldn't you?
Yeah, for sure. I think I'm thinking to do something with mangosteen.
Mangosteen?
Maybe a sour with mangosteen.
Is that like mangoes in Australia, but slightly a bit different? Or
no, it's like that. It's a purple kind of round fruit, and you open it, and there's like looks like garlic cloves inside.
Yeah, I know the one you mean. Yeah.
Kind of tastes like banana, the consistency of banana. But
I did a interview with the guys from Pasta Street Brewing in Vietnam. I'm not sure if you're aware of them. You know, they were paving the way in Vietnam and are doing great things, great beers like their Jasmine IPA. But they did a beer one time with that really stinky fruit, which you've got here as well.
Oh, the durian.
Durian. Yeah. They did a beer with that, and they had to end up throwing.
I'm ordering you another one. Two hazies, please.
Four beers.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Big ones. Yes, definitely big ones.
Getting another beer. Yeah, they did a beer with the durian, and had to throw away the keg because it stunk so much. just so bad. Maybe, I'm not saying try something like that, but maybe that little purple fruit might be a ripper.
The Doom, actually, the head brewer of Little Creature is in Asia.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
We're going to do a collaboration in December.
Nice.
He's going to come here. We're going to brew something.
Oh, sweet.
And yeah, I think he's got a lot more experience than me, so he'll have
that. That was on my list of questions here, talking about collaborations. Like, it's hard to collaborate with people if you're doing the only craft beer brewing. But that's what we need, to get the people from Perth to come up for a weekend and lay down a brew with you.
100%.
That'd be so cool.
Yeah.
But they need to give you about 12 months notice to get the ingredients, you know?
I've got 6 months worth of ingredients at all times, just because, you know, I gotta import it all. It's a headache.
Yeah.
So I got plenty of stuff. So whoever comes and wants to do something.
Well, we need to give a shout out to the guys from Cryo Malt, Yakima Chief Hops, Hop Products Australia. Get over to Bali and help Mattia out with getting some fresh ingredients to make some amazing beers.
And maybe someone else can do another brewery here too, so I'm not alone.
That would be cool. There's plenty of space. Yeah. And there's plenty of great towns around that could do this. Like, I think you've got a great thing going on here as far as this area. I don't know a lot about the different areas of Bali, but it feels like, you know, the tourists have gone, they started at Kuta, then they're going to Seminyak, now they're coming to Canggu.
Exactly, yeah. This is kind of like the
next
new
wave.
The next wave.
This feels here like this is a place for the young and beautiful people. And me being a 43-year-old man, I don't quite fit in, but I'm happy to be here for a little while.
Yeah. It's a surf town.
Yeah,
surfers started coming here. Then, Deus came in and did their venue, their shop, and kind of... Yep. You know, with the modified bikes and stuff, and it all rolled over from there. You know, surfers and skaters, like, because they made a bowl there, and kind of, and then all the trendy cafes started popping up, and there's a spot now. There's a brewery.
It's got it all. Well, mate, I want to know one last thing before we finish this up. Where to from here? What are your plans for the next 12 months? Your big dreams?
My big dreams from here. I want to get this place popping.
Yep.
You know, I want our name to grow everywhere.
Well, mate, now you're on the Beer Healer interviews, I'm pretty sure it's going to happen.
Thanks for coming by. I really appreciate it.
Pleasure.
Just focus on this. Make, you know, get the beer super, super good. And, just, you know, have some events and stuff like that, hopefully.
Yeah, we had Oktoberfest just this last weekend. That's a start.
Yeah, I'm pretty torched. Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
That's the thing when you run your own venue, you gotta do it all, don't you?
Maybe I should sell it before I become a drunk.
it's all for a good cause right now. You can, what's that famous song by Bon Jovi? Live while I'm alive, sleep when I'm dead. Sounds like a good idea to me. So. All right, well, thanks for joining me today. It's been fantastic.
Thank you.
Let's finish this next beer. Cheers.
Yep.
Thanks. Cheers. Thanks for tuning in to another Beer Healer interview. I really hope you guys enjoyed the episode as much as I did. If you want to follow along with more Beer Healer content, you can check out my Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram pages. Just search Beer Healer, or you can visit beerhealer.com. If you like the podcast, can you please help me spread the word by subscribing and rating it and sharing it with your beer-loving friends?